run out there on Roanoke and hook up with Wilcox and hook on up with 153 and hit I-75 and just run all over the world praising and worshiping our God. Praising and worshiping our God. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. He is omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all at the same time. And I just thank God for being who he is. Thank God for being God. Just thank God for being God. He's God all by himself. Thank God for demonstrating his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, I'm glad I was one of those whosoevers, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. I was about to say, I don't know about you, but I do know about you. Your life was like my life. It was messed up. It was jacked up. It was tore up until God came into our lives, until Jesus came into our lives, turned us around, put our feet on solid ground, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, dear God, for the praise and worship of you. Thank you, dear God, for the choir leading us into worship of you, dear Lord. And even now, as the word of God prepares to go forward, I pray, dear God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. Father, give us, your people, ears to hear and a heart to receive and a willingness empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what thus saith the Lord. And we will always be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise that you and you alone are worthy of. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. It's still morning. Stand with us. Happy Father's Day again. Happy Father's Day again. Psalms 1 is our text, is our deviate from the Beatitudes, and I probably will finish those up next week. But going through the Beatitudes, you know, they'll tell us how to be blessed. And so this morning, the Word of God is going to tell us how to be blessed. I'm going to read Psalms 1. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 3. We read 1 through 6 twice earlier this morning. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, in God's law, he meditates both day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. I'm going to preach this morning just from a kind of basic title. I'm going to talk about the blessed man, the blessed man, the blessed man. You may be seated. The blessed man. Good to see all of y'all here. Good to see Brother Cornelius here this morning. Good to see all of y'all though. Good to see a friend of mine, Brother Carr, here this morning. But it's good to see all of y'all this morning. The blessed man. Father's Day is a celebration honoring fathers and celebrating fatherhood, paternal bonds, and the influence of fathers in society. In Catholic Europe, it has been celebrated on March 19th since the Middle Ages. But here in America, it was in 1910 when a lady by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd started the celebration of Father's Day in honor of her dad, William Jackson Smart, who, although being a single parent, raised 6 children. Whereas the Bible gives honor to the father, today's society, not so much. Whether it's Al Bundy and Married with Children, all the way to Homer Simpson, today's dads are portrayed as buffoons, idiots, fools. Sadly, many TV shows don't even have a dad in the home. And although we know that that is the case in many households today, Hollywood makes sure that we don't miss that fact. Basically, the devil and this world system wants to eliminate the father, wants to eliminate the dad. But I stand with God and his word this morning, and I'm stating that there are still some godly fathers. There are still some godly men who love Jesus, and he wants to be good husbands, good fathers, good single men, and good contributing members of society. Let's look at the text before us this morning, Psalms 1. Let's peer into the Word of God and see how these characteristics can be played out in your life and my life. And this is not just for the men, even though my slant is toward the men this morning since it's Father's Day. But it's really, it's the Word of God, so it's applicable for all of us. That's a good place for amen. It's the Word of God, it's applicable for all of us. Verse 1 starts out by saying, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, before we go any farther, let me talk about this word blessed just a little bit. This word is used by many people in the church, and people often mean different things by it. All these bumper stickers and shirts, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, the problem with that here in America, especially, usually when you hear the word blessed, we usually think about materialism. We think about stuff. We think about money, this, that, and other. And if you got stuff, you're blessed. If you don't have stuff, you're not blessed. Well, that's not right. That's inaccurate. That's incorrect. I like how Dr. John MacArthur defines being blessed, how he describes it. You might want to jot this down. He talks about being blessed. For the child of God, it's a deep-rooted, a deep-seated contentment in the Lord. Being blessed for the child of God is a deep-rooted, a deep-seated contentment in our Lord. For us as a collective body of believers, it refers to God's redemptive favor. So yes, it is indeed good to be blessed. It's good to be the redeemed of God. It's great to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be the source of our joy and our contentment. So as Paul said once, you know, he said, I've learned to be content. He said, when I'm hungry, I'm content. When I'm full, I'm content. If I'm rich, I'm content. If I'm poor, I'm content. He said, I've learned the secret of being content. It's once again, it's by putting our trust and our faith and getting our contentment and joy from the Lord Jesus Christ. How blessed is a man who does these things. Now, you might not write this down. To be blessed, you can be blessed simply by, and I'm writing the text, I'm in the Bible. You can be blessed this morning by not doing what ungodly people tell you to do. Let me say that again. You can be blessed this morning by just not doing what ungodly people tell you to do. I knew I would have saved myself a lot of trouble if I just didn't do what some ungodly people told me to do. I've told you all this before. When I was in high school, Brother Carl, I had a 65 Chevrolet. It was a four-door. And those cars like that, they were a van before they were vans. 65 Chevrolet, a bench seat in the front. I can roll seven or eight deep in that car. Didn't even need a van, Brother Griggs. And one time, talking about what ungodly people would tell you to do. I've shared this with y'all before, so let me do it quickly. I'm at a gas station, Brother Cornelius. And I'm hanging out with some guys that I even didn't really know that well. They just hanging out with me because I had a car. And next thing I know, these guys are, you know, that was when self-service just started back in the 70s. I'm going to date myself. Back in the 70s, self-service just started. So they still kind of getting that thing right. You would still go pay up at the window. You didn't have a credit card. Go pay at the window. And while you're paying, somebody could be pumping the gas. So long story short, while they was distracting the attendant and paying about $2, they pumping gas in my car and restarting and pumping some more in my car and restarting. Long story short, we stole about $10 worth of gas. And I left there being scared to death. I said, man, if the police find out, if my dad finds out. That was a non-blessed type thing I did that day. So you can be blessed by just not knowing what ungodly people tell you to do, Brother Charlie. Just don't do it. You can be blessed by, listen to this, right in the text. You can be blessed by not hanging out with sinners and doing what they do. Let me emphasize and doing what they do. You can be blessed by simply not running with the wrong crowd and doing what they do. Now, to kind of make it clear for all of us who we are called to be evangelists, we're called to be evangelistic, we're called to share the gospel. So the Lord is not saying don't be around sinners at all, because all of us are around sinners sometimes. I mean, you work with them. I mean, right? We work. We got neighbors who are sinners. We got them everywhere. Sometimes we got sinners in our own home. Sometimes we have sinners unsaved right here in the church. So we can't be totally away from them. I mean, God is not calling us to be a monk or a hermit or an isolationist, but the Lord is saying when we're out among them, you impact them and don't let them impact you. You influence them. Don't let them influence you. You be salt and light. You point them to Jesus. You share the good news with them. But don't do what they're doing. So if they're gossiping, don't you be gossiping too. Come on, somebody. If they're gossiping, don't you be gossiping too. If they're around the coffee pot at work and they start about to tell that dirty joke, you just walk on off. Or if you're there while they tell it, don't you be laughing too. I mean, be different. Be different. If they cursing, don't you curse too. Oh, y'all getting quiet on me right there. If you got trouble with that cursing demon, just, Lord, take that cursing demon away from me. But if you're around sinners, don't let them negatively impact you. You should be impacting them. When you leave a crowd of quote unquote unsaved folks, sinners, that atmosphere should be changed. Let me say that again. Walking in as a man of God, a woman of God, you're around a bunch of sinners. When you leave there, that atmosphere, that mindset should be changed at least a little bit, because you're a child of God. So you can be blessed by not doing what ungodly people tell you to do. You can be blessed by not hanging out with sinners and doing what they do. I like what Warren Wiersbe says about this verse. If you look at it carefully, I hear Brother Steve talking about it earlier. It talks about walking, talks about standing, talks about sitting. This is what Warren Wiersbe says. He said, if you follow the wrong counsel, that's walking, if you follow the wrong counsel, then you will stand with the wrong companions and finally sit with the wrong crowd. Let me repeat that. Let me back that back up. If you follow the wrong counsel and then you stand with the wrong companions, next thing you know, you'll be sitting with the wrong crowd. And then it's one thing to sit with the wrong crowd, but it's another thing to sit with them and be comfortable with the wrong crowd. Verse 2. But his delight, the blessed man, the blessed woman, his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. And in God's law, he meditates both day and night. So you want to know how to be blessed this morning? Once again, don't listen to the prosperity boys. Don't listen to the prosperity preachers. This is how you can be blessed this morning. By getting your pleasure from reading, studying, obeying, and applying the word of God. You can be blessed this morning by, once again, getting your pleasure, your primary pleasure, from reading, studying, obeying, and applying the word of God. Saints, brothers and sisters, we got to read our Bibles. We got to read. This is our instruction manual. This is our playbook. We got to read our Bibles. Now, I haven't asked you this in a while. You know, going into this year, 2018, I was encouraging to be get you on some kind of Bible reading plan. So how you doing on your Bible reading? How you doing on your Bible reading? How we coming on the Bible reading? They got it so easy now, Brother Rodney. You can just put it up on Bible Gateway or something. And you can just listen to the word of God. I do that sometimes when I'm riding around. I mean, it's no excuse for us today not to be the people of the word. You might say, well, I can't see that good. I can't see that good this morning either. I can't read that good. But I can listen to it. I can at least listen to it. So we got to be people of the word, saints. That's one of the ways. That's one of the ways that we can be blessed by the word of God. Another way is right there in that verse. As you're reading the word of God, spend some time pondering the word of God, mulling over it in your mind, meditating on it. I think this whole word meditation, sometimes the Christian, we run away from that word because false religions like the Buddhists and all of them, they into meditation. They like, I'm not talking about that type of meditation. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about just going over it in your mind. Mulling over in your mind. Don't read the Bible too fast. Oftentimes I've heard Mother Moore say this before. Oftentimes we read the Bible too fast. Don't read it like you're reading a science book or a math book or something. It's not that. Don't read it like you're reading the newspaper. I read the newspaper. I'm skipping over stuff. I'm reading it fast. No, no, no. This is the inerrant, infallible word of God. Every time we open it up, God is speaking. God is speaking. So we got to read it slowly and carefully and meditatively and say, Lord, speak to my heart and mind. You know, the word of God, when we read it, three things are going to happen. Three things are going to happen. It's right in the scriptures. Three things are going to happen. It's going to rebuke us. It's going to correct us. And it's going to encourage us. Let me mention that again. When you read the word of God, it's going to rebuke us. It's going to correct us. And it's going to bless us. It's going to encourage us. So spend time pondering the word of God. That's one way to be blessed. Chew on it. I grew up in the country and we used to own some cows and, as a little kid growing up, I never could quite figure out why every time I look out there at the cows, they chewing. I'm like, what are you chewing? I don't see you eating grass right now. What are you chewing? It wasn't until I got a little older that I learned or found out. I don't want to gross you out this morning, but a cow, he would eat and then they basically would regurgitate what they had eaten and they'd chew on it some more. Well, that's what you and I need to do with the word of God. We need to read it, we need to eat it, and we need to bring it back up and chew on it a little longer and think about it a little more. Think about it a little, mull it over like that cow would chew on the cud. I mean, you can be blessed by just doing that. And once again, blessed does not mean necessarily having a lot of stuff. Now, God, he's God. You look at the Bible, I see people who were poor financially who were Christians. I see people who were kind of middle income in the Bible who were Christians. I see people who were rich, had a lot of stuff, who were Christians. So being blessed doesn't necessarily mean you got a bunch of material stuff. You can have bling, bling, all the bling, bling and things and still not be happy. Still not be blessed. As a matter of fact, I've read articles about people who win the lottery and get all these big sums of money, but yet a lot of them end up miserable or broke. So it's not stuff that makes us blessed. You can get blessed, once again, by not doing what ungodly people tell you to do. You can get blessed by not hanging out with the wrong crowd and doing what they do. You can be blessed by just reading the word of God and obeying and applying it to your life and meditating on it. Those are ways you can be blessed, beloved. I said, does anybody want to be blessed this morning? Does anybody want to be blessed this morning? Those are some ways that you and I can be blessed. It's a deep-seated, a deep-rooted joy in the Lord, a deep-rooted, deep-seated contentment in the Lord. We can't look to stuff. We can't look to other people to bring us our total joy and contentment because stuff will wear out. People will let you down, but God will never let you down. God will never let you down. If you're getting your joy and contentment from him, you are right. You are right. But as you read the word of God, maybe we need to ask some questions of the text, the word of God that we're reading. Things like, what did I learn about God that I didn't know before? What did I learn about Jesus that I didn't know before? I had read through the book of the Gospel of Mark. And then as I got toward the end of Mark, I was anew, kind of really intrigued, Brother Greens, by the last days of Jesus. You know, as he went to the Last Supper and as he was betrayed by Judas and as he was denied by Peter and as he went through those trumped up trials and charges and then as he went to the cross and died for you and for me and as he was buried and as he was resurrected, I was just all the more reinvigorated by those. So I said, this is what I'm going to do. This is Mark. I'm going to go to Matthew, read the last days of Jesus in Matthew and read the last days of Jesus in Luke. And in doing that, beloved, God showed me some stuff I hadn't seen before. How many of y'all know that? You can read the same verse. You can read the same book in the Bible 50 times. Every time God shows you some new stuff. Like, man, I didn't see that before. Did they just add that in the Bible? I didn't see that before. So spend some time. Ask those questions. Things like, are there some adjustments? I'm talking about how to be blessed now. Are there some adjustments I need to make in my life? Are there some sins that I need to confess? I mean, think about it. Confession and repentance are friends to the Christian. Because 1 John 1:9 tells us if we just confess our sin, just agree with God, I missed the mark, confess our sin, he is faithful and just. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sin. That's a good deal. To forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So I wouldn't know that if I wouldn't read my Bible. I mean, as you read the word of God, say, are there some promises that I can hold on to? Is there some encouragement that I can get from the word of God? See, so I'm reading the word of God and I see something like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's some encouragement. That's some encouragement. When I read verses like, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's some encouragement. So if you're on a job with a coworker or a boss trying to get you guys away, wait a minute, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. If they quote unquote get me, that's just because God's trying to get me to another job. There's promises, there's encouragement in the word of God. When you read verses like, he who has begun a good work in me, he's going to complete it. We all are Christians under construction, but guess what? God is still working on us. He's going to complete what he has started. So there are encouragement, there are promises from the word of God. There are warnings in the word of God. I said there are warnings in the word of God. Minister Terman preached a great sermon shortly ago about there was two roads. That's a warning. There's two roads. You want to make sure you take the right road. One is wide. That kind of looks like the right one. That's a wide one. Many folks on that one. But now look, the word of God tells you, don't go that way. That's not the right road to be on, this wide road. Many on it. But no, the narrow path. I'm learning as I grow as a Christian. If I'm on the road and there's a bunch of people around me, I'm like, maybe I think I'm going the wrong direction. But if I'm on the road, when I look around, just a few of us, okay, I'm going the right way. But if we didn't read the word of God, we wouldn't know that, saints. So you can be blessed, again, it's right in the text. You can be blessed by just reading the word of God. By just reading the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. It's been said that the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. Basic instructions before leaving earth. The Bible is so important. God gives us a whole chapter, Psalms 119, with 176 verses in it that amplifies all the more about the word of God, Brother Rucker. Almost every verse, pretty much every verse in Psalms 119 points us to the word of God. On Wednesday nights, it's been a while now, but we slowly read through Psalms 119. And I think right before I came to be your pastor, I think Pastor Smith, the founding pastor here, I think he preached or taught through Psalms 119. Listen to a few of these verses out of Psalms 119. It tells you and me to hide God's word in your heart that you might not sin against him. So that's one way I can make sure I'm sinning less by hiding God's word in my heart. The question is asked out of Psalms 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? That's a good question. How can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to God's word. You can help keep your way pure by heeding or applying to your life what God tells you or me to do. The question is asked in Psalms 119. Y'all with me this morning? Y'all with me? Happy Father's Day again. Y'all with me? Y'all still with me this morning? Psalms 119:18 says this. The psalmist said, open my eyes, dear God, that I may see wondrous things from your word. Open up my eyes. See, that's one thing as you go into reading the word of God. I'll be praying. So, Lord, help me to understand what I'm reading. Because let's be honest, some Bible verses are very, very easy, so to speak, very clear. But other passages of scripture are very complex. I think it was Peter wrote in the New Testament. He said, some of Paul's writings are hard to understand, Peter said. So as we open up the word of God, ask the Lord, give me insight. Teach me something today, dear Lord, as I read. That's what the psalmist said. Psalms 119 said, blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord. Here again, you can be blessed by just walking, Brother Keith, in the word of God. Verse 3. The blessed man, he should be like a tree. Somebody say tree. A tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Once again, when we talk about prospering and prosperity, we're not necessarily talking about money. It can be that, but it's not just that. So basically, verse 3 says, if you do those things about, you know, spending time with the Lord, spending time in the word of God, not doing what ungodly people do, it comes over to verse 3. It says, basically, if you do those things, you'll be stable. You'll have stability. You'll be like that tree firmly planted by the rivers of water. See, that tree, the root system, it brings up the nutrients. It brings up the water that it needs. So you'll be like that tree. You'll be stable and not unstable. Some people are very unstable. Dare not, of course, mention the name, but there was a guy I was ministering to a few years ago over a period of about 3 years, true story, over a period of about 3 years. That's 36 months. I went back and counted them. This brother changed phones about 18 times. 36 months. 18 different numbers, and every single one I went healed. It might have been his next door neighbor or something. But he called me from like 18 different numbers. Now, I'm not saying that's always a one-to-one correlation, but that speaks to a little bit of instability. If you got 18 different phone numbers in 36 months, come on, somebody. If you got 18 different phone numbers in 36 months, that speaks to a little bit of instability somewhere. Something is not quite right. A lot of people are unstable. They're not stable. But the blessed man, the blessed woman, if you're doing the things that God tells us to do, you and I would be stable. We would be like that tree firmly planted by the rivers of water. Our roots, if you will sink deep down into God. It will sink deep down, Brother Sidney, into Jesus Christ. See, God provides you and me everything that we need when we need it. Let me rewind that. Some of y'all did not hear that. God provides us everything that we need when we need it. One more time. Our God, he provides us everything that we need when we need it. And then sometimes he throws in some wants and desires. But he is Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord who provides. I mean, he provides for all of us saints. I mean, I heard Rodney pray earlier this morning. We say this, and it almost sounds like a cliche, but it's the truth. God woke us up this morning. I'm not confused. It wasn't the alarm clock. It was some people this morning, the alarm clock still going off, and guess what? They stay in the bed, either dead or sick. It wasn't the alarm clock, beloved. It was God himself. It was Jesus himself that touched your heart, touched my heart, shook us, and woke us up. So God woke us up this morning. Gave us reasonable health and strength. Woke us up sound in our right mind. Some people woke up this morning. They woke up, but they're not in their right mind. They out in Moccasin Bend or Valley Hospital somewhere. But God woke us up, and we're in our right mind. He's given us clothes to wear. I said clothes to wear. I'm looking at you this morning. Y'all looking sharp. Y'all on your sharp suits and dresses and stuff. But y'all sharp. Guess what? God gave us this. Brother Jackie, always sharp. He always sharp. God gave us this. It was God. It was our Heavenly Father. We're talking about fathers here today, but we got the best father in the world. I mean, he's God. He provides us with everything that we need. So he's giving us food, health, and your transportation. He's giving us transportation. It might be a hoopty, but he's giving us transportation. It might be caught a bus, but he's giving us transportation. It might be your buddy that's driving you around, but he's giving you transportation. Or it might be a sharp ride, like my friend back there has. He gives us whatever we need when we need it. Transportation. Not only that, check this out. He's giving us invaluable relationships. I mean, invaluable relationships. Parents, children, siblings, good friends, church members. That's from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. So I thank God for many of the people that he has put in my life. Most of us are a sum total of the people that have impacted us, either negatively or positively. Maybe it was a granddad, a grandfather, a father, next door neighbor got it, maybe help. I know at this day and time, and even years ago, we have many single parent homes. Some homes are led by the mother, and we praise God for that. A lot of great moms, but I often tell a few moms, a single mom with sons, you can't teach that boy how to be a man. Say it again. You can't teach that boy how to be a man. That's why it's all important, brothers, those of us who can come alongside some households like that and maybe help kind of be a surrogate father, or like even a big brother. I used to be in an organization years ago, big brother, little brother. I mean, but only a man can teach a boy how to be a man. So we're blessed today. Even those of us who didn't grow up with dads, there was somebody in your life that God put there. Maybe a granddad, maybe an uncle next door, maybe a neighbor down the street, maybe a football, basketball coach, maybe somebody on your school, maybe somebody at church. But we are blessed with invaluable relationships. God provides that. God does that. God does that. So sink your roots deep down, just like that tree by the rivers of water. Sink your roots deep down into God, deep down into Jesus. Fall all the more in love with Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit take full control of your life. Not partial control, but full control. The Bible says if we walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh, we won't carry out the desires of our heart, which most of the time are sinful. So blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's stable. He has to build it. Also, another thing from verse 3, they are fruitful. The blessed man, the blessed woman, the one who walks according to the word of God, the blessed man, he is fruitful. It's right there in your text. It says, the leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And even early on in that verse, said you're going to bring forth fruit in this season. So if you're taking notes, I want to write that down. The blessed man is stable. He has stability. But also the blessed man is fruitful. He's productive. He's prosperous. He's productive in the kingdom of God. He's productive in the kingdom of God. He's productive on his job. He's productive in his marriage as a husband. He's productive in his singleness. He's productive in his parenting. He's productive as a student. He's productive as a person in liberal arts. He's productive as an athlete. He's productive as a person who's a blue-collar worker working at the factory. He's productive as a white-collar worker, maybe the CEO downtown at the bank or at a Blue Cross or TVA or Unum. He's productive. He yields his fruit. The Bible says he yields his fruit in his season. Right there in verse 3, it talks about fruit bearing. He yields his fruit in his season. See, fruit bearing is seasonal. Fruit bearing is seasonal. You can't typically get a type of fruit that bears all year round. Fruit bearing is seasonal. So it is, Christian friend. As a Christian, fruit bearing is kind of seasonal too. It takes some Christians longer to bear fruit than others. I said it takes some Christians longer to bear fruit than others. It takes some bear a little bit of fruit. It's even kind of shriveled up and kind of sour. But then some Christians bear much fruit. Some Christians bear much fruit. Matter of fact, God, the Father, he said he wants us to bear much fruit. And then Jesus gives us some insight, beloved. He gives us some insight. This is how you can bear much fruit. Listen, this is what Jesus said. This is how you can bear much fruit. He said, if you just abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Let me say that again. Jesus said, if you just hang out with me, you just spend time with me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So if we're not bearing fruit, beloved, it's not Jesus' fault. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Jesus said, just hang out with me. I'll teach you how to bear fruit. God the Father, he is the vine dresser, Jesus says. So that means that Jesus, that God, he prunes us. I said, he prunes us. He cuts out stuff that prevents us from being a better fruit bearer. He cuts some stuff out. So, beloved, what things in your life is hindering you from bearing more fruit? But what things in your life is hindering you from bearing more fruit? Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, what's in my life? He'll show you. What's in my life is hindering my growth in Christ? What in my life is hindering my fruit bearing? God can cut some stuff out of your life. See, sometimes, for some of us, some of you might need to let a certain friend go. You may have to let that wrong crowd go. Some things you might need to do, you might need to get rid of some bad habits, a sinful habit that you have. You might need to cut down on some of that TV watching, especially the wrong shows that are not edifying. You might need to make an adjustment to your social media use. You might need to watch what type of music you're listening to. You might want to say, God, change my thinking. You might say, well, Lord, I need to improve my prayer life. Or Lord, I need to learn more about fasting or begin to fast. Ask the Lord, what do I need to do that I might bear more fruit? Because I don't know about you, I want to be a fruit-bearing Christian. My prayer for this church is that we be a fruit-bearing church. That's God's desire too, that we bear much fruit, right? So quick recap. You can be blessed by not doing what ungodly people tell you to do. You can be blessed by not hanging out with sinners and doing what they tell you to do. You can be blessed by getting your pleasure from reading, from studying, from obeying and applying the word of God to your life. You can be blessed by spending time pondering the word of God, mulling over in your mind, meditating on it. That will bless you. And as you do those things, that's going to help you to be stable. It's going to help you to be a productive follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all with me this morning? Verses 1 through 3, a great message, a great encouraging message telling you and me how to be blessed. Now, verses 4 through 6, here's a warning. Somebody say a warning. Here's a warning in verses 4 through 6. We just read about the blessed man. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Here's an encouraging verse. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Look at the contrast. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the ungodly shall perish, shall end up in hell. Now let's look at verse 4 again. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. As I was thinking about that and kind of researching that, the chaff, I think the best way to maybe give you an image of that this morning is, as a little boy growing up, we little boys, we just love to do this. They had this thing called a dandelion. Y'all familiar with the dandelion? It's the little green stalk with the little white thing on top. I call it the white afro. White afro. And as a little boy, we like to pull those up. And somebody know where I'm going next. We blow it. And stuff just go everywhere. But that's how the ungodly is. Again, their life is unstable. They're tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine. Their life is just all over the place. Just like that dandelion. They're like chaff just in the wind. That's how the ungodly are. In verse 5, it says the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. I got to kind of amplify this and kind of clear this, make sure you're clear on this. There are two judgments. There are two judgments. You know, in the end of time, when we leave this place, there are two judgments. And it says that the ungodly shall not stand, watch this, in the judgment that the Christians stand in, because it said they won't stand in the congregation of the righteous. So there are two judgments. Let me, if you got your Bibles open, turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Or if you got your iPhone or iPad, just hit one button and get there. These are the two judgments. I want to make sure you're clear on these two judgments this morning. I know most of y'all probably are, but I want to make sure that you understand that there are two judgments. And this is an eternal truth. There are two judgments. Two judgments. The one in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment, the Great White Throne Judgment. This is the one that all unbelievers, the ungodly, the unsaved, the person who does not follow Christ, they will be at this judgment. John writes in Revelation 20, he says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged. Those that are unsaved, the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged. Once again, this is the judgment of those who are unsaved. This is the judgment of those who are ungodly, who aren't Christians, who don't follow Christ, who haven't surrendered to him. They were judged, each one according to his works. So people who reject Christ, they're going to get judged for everything that they do. All their works, they're going to be judged on those works. And then look what happens. Then the death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life. That's where the Christian, your name is written in the book of life if you follow Christ. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Beloved, don't let people trick you or fool you or act like it's no eternal damnation. When we leave here, you're going to either be in heaven or in hell. It's no soul sleep. It's no in between. It's no second chance. When you leave planet Earth, you're either going to be at this judgment, the great white throne judgment, which I pray you're not at this judgment. But if you don't have Christ, you're going to be at this judgment, or you're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to talk about it in just a moment. So don't let people fool you. There is a hell. Matter of fact, Jesus, read the Gospels. Jesus talked about hell more than he talked about heaven. He was trying to warn us. He was letting us know, you don't want to go to that place. You don't want to be on that wide road that leads to destruction. You don't want to be doing what the ungodly do. So the ungodly, verse 5, talks about this is a judgment that they're going to be at. Well, the Christians, we're going to be, our works will be judged. Our works will be judged too. It's a different judgment. It's called a judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be on the screen for you. 1 Corinthians 3, 13 through 15. 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 15. But also, if you're taking notes, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all, we being Christians, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We're going to all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I said, we're going to all. Somebody said, we all. This is for the Christian. This is for the believer. Now, we're going to all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us. Also, turn to 1 Corinthians 3. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3. That's one thing about technology. Every now and then something goes wrong. So we were going to put it on the screen, but look at it in your Bibles. That's why you need to bring your Bible. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 13 through 15. 1 Corinthians 3, 13 through 15. This is the other judgment. We got two judgments. The great white throne judgment, which that's where the non-Christians are going to be. This is a little teaching point in the Word of God, in the preaching this morning. All preaching has teaching. And then the other judgment, the ones that Christians will be at, is called the judgment seat of Christ. Our works will be judged. It's not a judgment to try to see if you're going to make it into heaven or not. No, but our works will be judged. Our works will be judged. Romans 14:10 says, for we should all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But in 1 Corinthians 3, listen to this, beloved, verse 13 through 15, and I'm almost through. It says, each one's work will become clear. Talking to the Christian now. For the day will declare it. See, all of us are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. The day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. See, as Christians, we have rewards available. The Bible talks about different types of crowns. So if your work comes through the fire, you're going to receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be what? Saved. He himself will be saved. So once again, the judgment seat of Christ, this is not a judgment trying to see if you're going to get in heaven or not. That's decided why you're here on earth. But he will be saved yet so as through fire. Beloved, it's great to know as a Christian, you can know right now. You should know right now if you're going to heaven or not. The Lord says today is the day of salvation. So if you haven't surrendered to Jesus Christ, today needs to be your day. Give your life to Christ. And if you have given your life to Christ, I love 1 John 5. It says, I have written these things to you that you may know, K-N-O-W, you may know that you have eternal life. I know I'm going to heaven, not because I'm so great, I'm this, I'm a pastor. No, I know I'm going to heaven because my life has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in his hands. John 10, Jesus said, if you're in my hands, nobody can pluck you out. He said, oh, by the way, you're also in my Father's hands. So that's like double coverage. Nobody can pluck you out. So we can know today, K-N-O-W, I know where I'm going. By God's grace, I know where I'm going. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Yeah, I thank God for life here on earth. I thank God for what's going on here on earth. But this is just the beginning. I'm just a sojourner. I'm just passing through. This is not my home. This is not my home. My home is in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Put your name there. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be there also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. So the Christian, our works will be judged. Yet so as through fire. I had a friend of mine say he heard a sermon. He was a little boy. Said never left his mind. And the sermon was standing in a pile of ashes. Meaning all your works you've done as a Christian, they just all burned up. I was telling my wife recently, I was blessed. I did a good deed for someone. She and I actually. Now I think she's going to get credit for it. But I'm not going to get credit because I did it. But all the next days and weeks, I'm like, man, I probably shouldn't have done that. Man, I don't know why I did that. And poof, that just burned up. Good work just burned up. But Tanya probably get credit for it. She had the right attitude after. Just being real. Just telling the truth. But there are two judgments. The great white throne judgment, Revelation 20, where unbelievers will be before that judgment. And then 1 Corinthians 3 or 2 Corinthians 5:10, the judgment seat of Christ. That's where we as Christians will be standing at. Back to Psalms 1. Back to Psalms 1, verse 5 again. talks about how the blessed man is in the congregation of the righteous. Y'all see that? The congregation of the righteous. See, you want to make sure, once again, let me keep reamplifying that. You want to make sure that you're in the congregation of the righteous. You want to make sure you've been justified, declared righteous. You want to make sure you've been sanctified, set apart. You want to make sure that one day you're going to be glorified. You want to make sure that you are the redeemed of God. You want to make sure that you are the blessed man or woman this morning. You can say blessed and highly favored if you say it in the right context. You want to make sure you're getting your deep-rooted contentment and joy from the Lord. So, you know, when you think about this text and think about the Bible in general, being a Christian, there are benefits now and benefits later. I said there are benefits now and benefits later. Let me say it one more time. There are benefits now and benefits later. So it's a double blessing to be a follower of Christ. And then verse 6 says, as I finish, verse 6 says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. They're going to end up in hell. But God knows the way of the righteous. God knows the way I take, Job said. My steps are ordered, the psalmist says. This fact here, this note that's written in the text, it's not meaning that God... it's some intellectual knowledge. Of course, God knows everything. I say he knows everything. But this means, listen, this means an intimate relationship with the righteous ones. When God says, I know you, this K-N-O-W in this verse, he's talking about, I know you personally. I know you intimately. I know you on a first name basis. We got an intimate relationship going on. God said, I know you. He said, I know you. So as a blessed man, as a blessed woman, the greatest blessing is God knows you and you know him. Experientially, you can know so him. You know him in a personal, a deep and an intimate type of way. God said, I know you. He knows the righteous ones. He knows the ones that are chosen of God. He knows the redeemed. He knows us, the saved folk. He knows us. Are y'all with me this morning? That's a good place for amen. He knows us. He knows us. So even today, salvation is offered. Even today for the Christian, God said, restoration is offered. Jesus offers deliverance today. Jesus offers healing today, emotionally and physically. Jesus offers victory today. Listen, God wants to save you. He wants to restore you. He wants to revive you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to commune and fellowship with you. And yes, he wants to bless you. He wants you to experience his joy, his love, his peace. See, you hang out with him, he'll teach you how to get over those landfills, those landmines in life. When you hang out with him, he'll teach you how to overcome temptation. When you hang out with him, he'll show you that you can take everything captive to your mind. When you hang out with him, he'll show you how to walk this walk. He'll give you his peace and his contentment. See, God tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, listen to this, talking about how to be blessed, the blessed man. Jeremiah 29:11, here's a great promise from the Lord. He said, I know. The thoughts are the plans that I have for you. Plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let me read that again. God said, I know the plans I have for you. I know the thoughts I have for you. Plans of peace. There is a good word. Plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So child of God, man of God, happy Father's Day once again. Our Heavenly Father, our Lord, our God, our Christ, he has some great things in store for you. And on this Lord's Day that we call the Father's Day, I just remember again, a recap one more time, to be blessed, that means don't do what ungodly people tell you to do. To be blessed, don't hang out with sinners and do what they're doing. Matter of fact, you be salt and light. You make a difference in their life. To be blessed, get your primary pleasure from reading, from obeying, from applying the Word of God to your life. Matter of fact, let the Word of God be your primary source of joy and contentment. To be a blessed person, blessed man or woman, you got to spend time pondering, meditating in, and mulling over the Word of God. And as you do these things, beloved, as you do these things, you will be stable. You will be fruitful. You will be productive. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm through. How to be the blessed person, the blessed man, the blessed woman. A good way to do that is, once again, meditate on God's word. Meditate on Psalms 1. This is a good place to start. This is a good place to start. And God indeed will give you contentment, give you joy that lasts. It's not just temporal, but it lasts. Typically what man has to offer us, it doesn't last. It has an expiration date. But what God has for you and me, it doesn't have an expiration date. It lasts throughout all eternity. I mean, his joy, he can give us joy even in the midst of sorrows. He can do that. He can even give us peace in the midst of a storm. I'm not going to tell you that he always takes away the storm. He doesn't always take away the storm. But he can give us peace in the midst of the storm. He doesn't always remove the thorn in the flesh, as Paul prayed those three times. But God said, my grace is sufficient. Y'all got it. My grace is sufficient. So whatever we're dealing with, saints, God gives us the wherewithal. He gives us the resource. He gives us the power, if you will, to make it through those situations. I'm going to ask you to stand now if you can stand. And this morning, we read about two judgments. One was the great white throne judgment. The judgment where the ungodly, the unsaved, the unrighteous will be. The judgment where the people, they rejected God, they rejected Jesus. So don't let that be you this morning. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, the Bible message is clear. It says, God says, Jesus, come just as you are. The Samaritan woman at the well, she basically came just as she was. Nicodemus, he came just as he was. Zacchaeus up in the tree, tax gatherer, sinner, he came just as he was. The Philippian jailer, he came just as he was, and God saved him and his whole household. The Ethiopian eunuch, he came just as he was. God saved him. So come just as you are. Just come and confess your sins to the Lord and bring sin, and he gives forgiveness. Repent, turn to him. He died for you. He died for me. He has redeemed us by his precious blood, his death on the cross and his resurrection. Maybe you're here today and you are saved. You are a Christian, but you haven't. You're looking for a church home. If that's you this morning, come, and we would love to welcome you into Love Fellowship this morning, where we love God, we love his word, we love people. So if that's you this morning, you can come for salvation or for church membership. Or even this morning, you might say, Lord, I want to leave here being that blessed man, that blessed woman. So remind me of what the scriptures say. Remind me of what Psalms 1 said. Remind me of some things I heard this morning during the sermon, that I might live this week as a blessed person, experiencing your joy and your contentment. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise for just being God all by himself, for being our Savior, our mighty King. If even making it pretty clear, I pray it was clear, just from this one, these six verses, how you can live a blessed life, how you can be blessed today, tomorrow, next week, next year, next month. Are there visitors with us this morning? If you're visiting with us, just raise your hands. We thank God for some visitors this morning, Brother Carl and Sister Teresa's dad and sister are back there. So raise your hand again. We want to have a little gift for you on this Father's Day. Thank you for visiting with us today, and I pray that you come back and visit with us again, and pray that something was said and done today through the sermon, through the singing, through the prayer, through scripture reading, through fellowship, that was a blessing to you, and that drew you closer to the Lord. That's our prayer, that when you leave here today, you say, okay, I'm a little closer to Jesus now than what I was when I first came. So we thank God for you coming today. Get a Lord a hand clap of praise again for our guests, our visitors. I also want to remind you all, if you did not get a chance to get a directory, a church directory last week, there are some more out there on the credenza. That's a tool that we can use to be a blessing to one another through fellowship, through calling a brother or sister in Christ, and just saying hi or checking on them or whatever. But there are some more directories out there on the credenza. And be praying this week. Pastor Chris from the Philippines, he'll be with us again Sunday. He's not going to preach, but he's just going to come Sunday and kind of share his heart a little bit again about some of the needs that they have where he's pastoring over in the Philippines. And be prayerful. So we'll take up an offering that we'll give to him. You know, if you notice, we basically don't, well, we don't take up any offerings for just for us, if you will. When we have a special offering, it's typically an evangelistic type of thing to give to someone else and try to be a blessing to another person, another ministry, another church. So be praying this week what the Lord would have you to contribute next week. And as a pastor, I never try to make people give under compulsion or make people feel guilty or whatever. So just pray, and however the Lord moves on your heart. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Like I said, back to my little example again, about a month ago when Tanya and I ministered someone, I don't think, looking back, I wasn't really a cheerful giver. I gave, but I wasn't too cheerful about it afterwards anyway. So that work just burned up. It's gone. But Tanya will get credit for it. She'll get credit for it. God bless you. Love you. Have a great week this week. Walk as unto the Lord. You know, live your life before the Lord in a way that would bring him glory and impact others for the kingdom. You know, we just think about this, saints, and I'll let you go, but I don't know about you, but I don't think I think about this enough, the fact that God has given me and you, 2 Corinthians 5, the ministry of reconciliation. We get the privilege, it is a privilege, to go tell people who don't know God, who don't know Jesus, we get the privilege to share with them, share the gospel, the good news, and let them know that they can enter into a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, I know, I get it. Many times when we do that, people don't, you know, they reject, and they, you know, say, take that stuff somewhere else, or okay, Christian or preacher. But we're called to plant and water. We are called to plant and water. God gives the increase. We can't save anyone, so we just do our part and trust the Lord to do his part, right? Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you this day. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to go and share the good news with others. We thank you that we are, by your grace, we are salt and light. We are trying to make a difference in our homes, of course, but even in our neighborhoods, on our jobs, wherever we go, dear God, let us make an impact for you. Let us make an impact for the kingdom. Thank you, dear God, for letting us know that being blessed doesn't necessarily mean material stuff. It means more of a contentment and a joy that comes from you and you alone. Thank you, dear God, for giving us all of our needs. And sometimes you do give us wants and desires. You do give us some extra stuff sometimes. And we thank you, dear God. We know that every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from you. So we love you, dear God. We praise you. Bless us now as we leave this place. We thank you, dear God. And I pray, dear Father, that indeed your face will shine upon your people, dear God, and that we will experience your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Bless man or woman. Have a great week. Happy Father's Day again. Let me say this real quickly on the way out. Children or wives, take care of your husband and father today. Take care. Treat them something good today.